That
there
is
we are.
amazing. That's amazing. Well, now, but I can't see my,
What can't you see? Your little thing on the side will tell you if it can hear you. Can it hear me?
I can't see my notes.
You have to go to a different tab and see your notes, maybe.
I don't want to go to a different tab and see my notes, but I can do that for today. I do have a little notebook here.
Excellent.
Did you see my, I added some notes. I think that every section, maybe we each have a little point that we talk about.
Okay. You know what? I wasn't pulling up the notes because I'm still trying to figure out if I'm making noise. Because when you talk, your little things on the side, the VU meter goes up and down. And on mine, it doesn't. And I'm worried.
It does. I can see yours go up and down.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. I'm so glad we're recording this part.
Can you see my horns?
They look like a bug antenna. Is what they look like.
Okay.
You look like a bug. All right, now I have the planner open on my other screen.
Oh, I wish I had another screen. I only have this one screen. When I'm talking, are my lips moving at the same time? Does it look proper? Okay. Okay.
Why does it look dumb when I'm doing it?
It was a little off at one point for you, but you're good now. You're good.
We can take squad shots. Do you see this? You can take pictures of this.
Boop, sounds dirty. Squad shot will be taken in 5 seconds. Oh, one. So what happens now?
I don't know.
I feel like it goes on a dirty website, the squad shots. Hey, there it is.
Oh my God, I love it.
Now, what do you do with it? Do you just download it?
I'm going to download it.
Okay, where is it download? Okay, no, it opened another. Oh, geez. Okay. How do we get rid of it?
I just clicked off of that page.
I got it.
That is amazing.
Got it.
I can share a screen.
You can share a screen? Can you share the show notes?
Yeah, but then everyone who's tuning into the podcast will see the show notes, I believe.
No, I don't want to do that.
I could share my tax withholding estimator.
Oh, there's a little thing up in the corner that's show stats. It has a little pair of glasses. I thought that meant if I could put glasses on you.
I'm already wearing them.
It's the show stats because you could go like this with your glasses. Kitty. Hi, Kitty. Hi, Rose. Hi, Rose. Macho ate a little bit of our comforter today, which is the first thing he's really, And we got a good picture of him standing at the end of the bed with the puffy stuff hanging out of his mouth. Bye, Rose. Get the fuck out of here, Rose. We're trying to do something.
It's Uno. You can tell by the one eye.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, definitely Uno. One eye. What's up, Ivan?
wait till you start struggling.
Okay. All right. Let's move along.
Okay.
Okay. Do you have your show notes open?
Yes. Birds and age. No, that's not the rage show notes.
No, it's not. And I'm on the wrong, how on a Mac do you do a split screen?
I don't know. I'm using my work computer. Hi, work.
Okay. I think I know enough for my part of the intro. Did you read the intro?
I did, yeah.
We can have a chat here too, just in case you want to talk about, because I can definitely see me being able to multitask that.
Okay, my podcast.
Hold on, I'm having a thought that I don't want everyone to hear.
A, that's never gone through my head, not even once. I thought I don't want everyone to hear.
Oh, yeah, it has. It has. When I'm on a meeting at work, that's when I use chat the most. What did this dingleberry just say?
Here's it. Yes. The butt. Okay. Hello. Welcome to the Mental Funny Bone, Becoming the Gaster Girls. I'm Christine.
And I'm Sarah. And the majority of this podcast, we're going to talk about some mental health issues and whatnot. But we want you to know that we're definitely not mental health medical professionals in any way whatsoever. We are just speaking from our own personal experiences. And should you need it, you should seek professional help. And in all of our show notes, there will be some links to resources for you.
Wait, I gotta get my tablet ready to take notes on the show notes.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that's our intro. We'll get better at that, but that's it.
Realistically, we probably won't.
So while Sissy is making notes, by the way, she'll call herself Christine. I'll call her Sissy because that's what I've called her my whole life. While she's taking notes, I will let you guys know that we recorded this episode yesterday.
For an hour.
It was yesterday. Yesterday was Easter and there was some family here and it was a lot of fun. And we got to hide in the basement and do this while there was family upstairs.
Right.
And we took a little break to go eat dinner, came down to finish her up. And realized that we did not have the speaker connected properly. And it was actually connected to my headphone thingies in my office, which is upstairs where everyone else was. So while we were recording, you could see our faces, but all you could hear was our dad and my kid and my husband. Huh. Less funny than the two of us. Very much less funny.
I mean,
so a little introductions. We can go take that right into introductions.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm Sarah. I'm the younger sister, also known through the majority of my life as the crazier sister, the wilder sister, which again,
the prettier sister.
Fuck off. Anyway, the wild thing. I mean, kind of, but I got stories. Anyway, I live right outside of Pittsburgh with my husband, Noah, and our 14-year-old son, Owen. Yeah, so that's real quick about me. Christine?
I can introduce myself in just one second, but Olivia sent me a text and she said, because I sent her a note yesterday that I put money in her bank account for Easter.
Mm.
And she just replied. I will tell you that I sent that at 8 a.m. yesterday morning.
Yeah.
She just saw it.
Yeah.
It's 4 o'clock the day after Easter.
Well, she's 18 and she goes to college right next to NC State. And NC State entered into the Final Four last night. So I imagine that she was probably out a little late.
What she said right now is, wow, I just saw that and I am crying. She said, I want to call you, but I'm having a crying day. So I'm hoping that stops soon.
I'm familiar. I'm familiar.
I'm sorry. I'll call you later.
Love you, Livy.
We love you. I'll call you later. We love you. It's about the best we can do here. All right. So I'm Christine. I'm the older, I want to say it's slightly more responsible, but I think it's really, you know, slightly more afraid of failing. I'm older, a little bit more organized, like, I had 5 years with the parents auto myself, and then I asked for a big brother, and they gave me a little sister. You know, I'm not saying I was disappointed, but I didn't talk to her for like a good 15 years. So
I'm not saying I was disappointed, but I was disappointed.
I mean, she couldn't even play catch. You could throw stuff at her. She wouldn't catch it. It would just make her cry.
Well, your eyes were going like this, so you probably threw it there, and I was over there.
I'd already had the corrective surgery by then.
We're going to have to post some pictures of your eyes going this way.
But they fixed it now. Also, your mother looked at me in these glasses and said, is your eye swollen? I said, no, one of my eyes is really bad, and one of them isn't.
I feel like they should have fixed that when you were a baby, when they were going the wrong direction.
You can only do so much.
Okay.
But I live outside of Pittsburgh, but it's sort of the opposite way and a lot less close to the city. So I'm the country mouse and Sarah is the city mouse. Right now I'm an empty nester with my husband, David. Like we said, our daughter Olivia is off killing it at college. She's a double major in biology and psychology.
And it's like her mom, she's an overachiever.
We have a need for approval that goes deep. It goes deep, my friends. We'll get into that a lot.
You would think with my not needing approval that I wouldn't have as many psychological issues.
different kinds, different strokes.
I guess so. Different strokes.
Love that show.
Right.
Right. So I think that's us introed. Oh, good news. David's coming home. I told him I was recording a podcast, so he should come in here bellowing and being otherwise just noisy and distracting. All right. What are we talking about today? Should we do a little bit of a weekly catch up corner?
I think we should. Yeah. I mean, basically let everyone know how we plan on doing the show every week is we'll do a little weekly catch up on the two of us. Included in that weekly catch up, we'll talk a little bit about entertainment and
things we like.
Like the Kelsey Brothers.
That are not mental health related. Yeah. So catch up corner, entertainment corner, the growing up gaster story of the week. Then we'll get into the podcast. Then we'll talk a bit about mental health. We were going to do an interview. So sometimes we'll have our friends and family on and they're going to tell you how awesome we are and how funny we are. And we feel like that'll just sort of reinforce it for everybody. And we're going to ask them kind of amusing questions about mental health and what it was like to know us when we were younger. And there's their favorite pieces of being associated with the Gaster girls. We can't do it today because we had our mom and Sarah's kid lined up for the interview. But we were so sad that we wasted an hour that we didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah, we gave up.
As
we're that's what you do. That's what you do when you fail. You just give up.
Resilience. We're all about it. All right. So weekly catch up corner. Do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
I'll tell my story real quick. What is it? Just me going to the grocery store?
I think you have going to the grocery store. I already had my first day at my new job, so we can touch on that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because we're kind of a day late, you know? So today I tried to go to the grocery store. I don't go to the grocery store because it's stupid. I don't really like people that much. And I have a little bit of anxiety, so it's really not that fun for me. I took the day off today, so I figured I'd go to the grocery store. Bad fucking idea. Bad idea.
But why? It's not well, everybody. People go to the grocery store all the time.
First of all, I chose the wrong cart. I chose the baby cart because I feel like I only need the baby cart. I don't need the big cart. I'm just going for some stuff for this weekend. And so I chose the baby cart. Then
the baby cart isn't a cart for babies.
No. It's the tiny cart. Like here's the regular cart. And this is the tiny cart. It has the tiny thing on top and then the next tiny thing on the bottom.
Right. Got it. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been to a grocery store since COVID. So.
Right. Right. And that's the way I'm going back to that. So anyway, I picked the wrong cart. I didn't realize it until I had a bunch of like vegetable shit. What's that? Produce in there and some canned things. And then I realized I have to get a case of water. Where do you put the water in the baby cart? Oh. It doesn't fit underneath. Because the water is too tall to get under. So I had to stop and take everything out of my baby cart and then put the water in and then put everything back in the bottom of the baby cart, blah, blah, blah. So then I get to the checkout and I'm doing self-checkout because God forbid I have to talk to anyone. And I realize I have parsley instead of cilantro. So I asked the high school kid who's standing there. I was like, hey, I got parsley instead of cilantro. And he's looking at me like, wow, I would like to punch you in the face. So being me, because I want to just, you know, please other people, maybe I don't want to be a bother. I was like, you don't have to get me a new one. Just take this one away from me, please. Why wouldn't I just say, can you get me a new one? The produce, I could see the produce from here.
Or hang on, I'm going to run over and grab the right thing.
Something. So anyway, that's fuck up number one. So then I get home and I unpack and I'm like, wait a second, where's the milk? Where's the goat cheese? Where's the feta cheese? Where's the cream cheese? Because I'm making a bunch of dips. I don't know where they are. I left them in the cart. So I fly back up to the grocery store to get to the cart before they take it in. And shit's not in the cart. So in my head, I'm thinking I should go in, right? I should go in, but I don't want to talk to anybody because I'm fucking crazy. So I leave. I'm just like, fuck it. I just don't have the shit. Fuck it. Then I get home and I'm like, why wouldn't I just ask? So I call. They have it. They have it there in the fridge for me. So I have to go back up for the third time. The third fucking time I have to go up. I go in and get the bag. And I think while I'm there, I should get the cilantro.
Right.
But I was so fucking overwhelmed and fucking irritated that I couldn't even get the cilantro. I had to fucking leave and get home. That's my grocery story.
I love it.
I'm never going to go to the grocery store ever again. I will order my shit. Someone will fucking shop it for me and bring it out and load it in my motherfucking car.
Do you, like, on occasion when this stuff happens, do you think it would be really nice if I just had like a quiet mind that would be able to go, why don't I just go get the cilantro right now while I'm here? And a quiet mind that would be able to process that and be like, you know what? That makes sense. Cause I don't come back to the store. It's right here. I'm just holding my one bag. I'll just go over. I will grab with one hand. I could grab the cilantro, take it to the self checkout, scan that bitch, and be out of here.
Right.
But no, I mean, I 100% get it. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I have this bag. What am I going to do with this bag while I'm trying to get this cilantro? I have this bag. I'm not doing it.
I have the bag hanging off my arm as I walked towards the produce and then turn around and left.
I'm like, no.
Because I have a bag. I was like, fuck, I'm not. I can't. It's over. It's done. I can't. I've got to move on from this. I can't deal with it anymore.
Right. Right. All right. So I will move right from that story into the end of a job. Because yes, I feel like if I had a quieter mind, I would be able to process all of these things without being a lunatic. Mm-hmm. I would be able to say, hey, I'm not an idiot. So
yeah.
So end of a job. So I've been working temporary placement at this one company for 3 months. So big company bought my little company. They kept me on for 3 months. And for those 3 months, everyone that I talked to at this company was like, oh, it would be so great if you stayed. Oh, here's this position. Why don't you interview for this position? So I interview for this position and get down to the end of all of these interviews, like 10 interviews. Like I've talked to 10 people and everyone seems friendly and nice. And I will honestly say, and this will help us later. I killed that interview. Like
you like interviewing though. Like you live for that shit, which is fucking weird.
Because it's like a competitive sport. I'm like, I have to do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to be the baddest bitch in the room. Like, yeah, I'm like, okay. And again, it's not out of like any kind of badassery. It's about fear. Like I am afraid that people are going to think I'm dumb. So I will research stuff I already know about and can put a slide. So I put together this great slide presentation. It was an area of my field of expertise that I don't know quite that well. So I'm doing all kinds of internet research, slides out the ass. I'm putting together I'm on Canva. I'm typing, I'm pulling in media. There's fireworks that are happening. Anyway, I do really good at this interview, but I come up just a little bit short. So they're like, everyone loved you. Everyone wants to keep you on. Everyone wants to continue working with you, but there was somebody who was just a little bit better. So what I hear in my head is what an idiot you are. Yeah. It's a competitive sport and you fucking lost. You didn't come in first place. You don't deserve anything. You should be ashamed even to show up here at this place of business for the rest of your 3 month placement here.
You should crawl under your desk.
Right. How can you even live with yourself? And then what that does is results in like when I'm laying down to go to sleep at night, I'm like, what was it? Like, what did I do wrong? Like what? I know I had a great slide presentation. So what else was it? Like, did they know that I don't really know this all that great? Like what did I mess up and what I could have done different is what that spirals into. And it doesn't matter. Like I probably wasn't going to take that job anyway.
Right. That's the thing is
like, I was literally waiting for them to tell me I got the job so I could tell them I didn't want it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the funny thing about it, but you still get worked up because it still means that much to you because you want to be able to tell them, I don't want your stupid job.
Right.
I just want you to tell me how awesome I am so I could tell you, I don't want your stupid job. But
right.
You have to remember the first thing that you said was that you killed it. You killed the interview.
Yeah.
All 11,000 of them. You killed them.
I did. And
so fuck it. There's one more person who did just a little bit better. That doesn't mean that you're an idiot. That doesn't mean that you suck. It doesn't that all that you need to take away from it is that you killed it. You didn't want the fucking job anyway.
Right.
And now here you are.
Right. And then earlier this week. So it's last week at this job. And the department that I was in, the head of that department was like, hey, just FYI, I had a job to offer you if that data management one didn't work out, but we didn't get the budget for it. So just want to keep in touch because I might be able to offer you a job. I was like, okay, I'm not an idiot and everyone still likes me.
Yes.
Dumbass. So good thing I couldn't sleep 3 or 4 nights after that interview, worrying about why I'm a dumbass.
I like that you just acknowledge that you're not an idiot and then call yourself a dumbass for thinking that you're an idiot.
It's a cycle. It's what we work on. It's what we work on.
I get it. But now you're in a new job and today was day number one.
Oh,
and so you get to be all nerdy, like a new nerd.
So I talked to, I had onboarding meetings and I talked to my boss and then I finally had a little break around 2 o'clock to call David. And he was like, do you think maybe you should stop drinking coffee or Red Bull or whatever it is that has you acting the way that you're acting right now? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm so excited. There's stuff happening. He's like, right. Just maybe you
breathe.
Peel it back. Again, wouldn't it be nice to have a quiet mind where I'm like, what's he talking about? What's up? No, I don't. I have 14 things to do already. I'm going to redo the budget tool. And then there's a slide presentation and there's other colleagues that I have to, I'm responsible for.
Nerd.
Right.
Nerd.
It was amazing. David's like,
did you read that book, The Unquiet Mind? Was it a movie too with Winona Ryder?
Girl Interrupted? No, that was Angelina Jolie. No, I don't.
No, actually, I don't think it was. I don't think Girl Interrupted might be the one that I'm thinking about though.
Angelina Jolie had a friend and I can't remember who that friend was. It might have been Winona Ryder.
Unquiet Mind. I think it was like a book I read when I was in Arizona, when I discovered Barnes & Noble.
Oh no. When we first started self-diagnosing.
Yeah. The first thing I self-diagnosed was irritable bowel syndrome.
and then bipolar almost immediately.
That was right after I walked into Barnes & Noble. I was like, where's the bathroom? Like I have to know exactly where the bathroom is everywhere I go. And it's one of the common signs of irritable bowel syndrome. When you walk into a place and need to know where the bathroom is. I was like, fantastic. I don't know if it was a movie or not. I just see things. So I'm wrong. Anyway, Unquiet Mind. It was a good, it's a good read. I might need to read it again.
You know what I'm going to do though?
What?
I'm going to link it in the show notes.
An Unquiet Mind, a memoir of moods and madness. I think I have to read it again.
I think I'm going to start calling every mental health disorder I have madness.
Madness. It's maddening and I'm in madness.
Seems to be.
All right. So that was kind of our week. I mean, there's a lot more, but let's just go with that.
Right. You want to talk about some entertainment stuff?
Some entertainment stuff. What do I have on there? I stole one of yours.
Is it? Yes, you did. All right. I'm going to go first because I'm going to talk about that poem. I wonder if there's a way I can share that on here. I'm just going to make myself a little note to see if I can record somebody reading that poem and putting it in here.
There's got to be a way you can do it. We have to get We have to get an intern.
We do need an intern. And by intern, I mean somebody under 30.
Will Liv be our intern in the summer? Can we get her to do things?
Right. I mean, she's fairly unreliable in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, what intern are you going to get that's going to be reliable that will work with us? We're not interns and we're not reliable. We've been trying to get this shit together for forever.
True story. All right. I'm facing the same challenge here that I faced yesterday, and then I can't hear.
Oh, no.
Because I'm using my microphone to hear you. Or not my microphone. I'm using my speaker to hear you.
Okay.
But I will figure it out. I will figure out how to get that. You remember it. Do not go gently into the dark night poem, right?
Maybe let's work this week. And when I say let's, I mean you. Work this week on figuring out how to get it into this little thing and add it into next week's episode.
Yeah, let's do that. All right. So I did want to talk about the Kelce brothers just a little bit in Entertainment Corner because I love them. And
we have to.
I mean, they're brothers, and you could like watching their sibling relationship and being able to not watch Travis Kelce literally shake through interviewing Alejandro Villanueva is one of the delights of my week. Like, he's just bouncing around in his chair. They're like, yeah, Alejandro, tell us about your experience with being in the military and then coming into the NFL. And then Travis is immediately like, he's just scrolling on his phone. He might be listening. He might not. Like, Villanueva's like, yeah, I went to high school in Germany. I went to high school the same high school where all of the NATO diplomats sent their kids, right? So he's like, and they were, you know, all over Europe, all these kids. And he's like, and then we were with the NATO sons, and they had a football team, like an American football team. And Travis is like you can see him kind of squinting and looking a bit blank-faced. And finally, Jason's like, do you not know what NATO is? He's like, well, it stands for something, right? And then I had to hit pause while I was watching that and pick up the phone and call you and be like, hey, guess what?
It makes me mad because I'll say it, and I'll say it probably every episode that we bring up the Kelce brothers. I want to be Jason Kelce so bad.
You're not.
I want to jump on burning tables, and I want to wear those fucking overalls and that mask, and that's what I want to be. Except for I'm Travis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I fully expect you to pick up your phone maybe in 5 seconds. Like, at some point during us recording this podcast, I expect you to pick up your phone and start grocery shopping.
Just do something else. I'll probably color. I'll probably bring a coloring book along.
Right.
And I mean, NATO, I gave it a guess, right? I mean, I know it's like some big shit.
Some big shit, right? Yeah, no. I mean, there's probably a lot of people that don't know.
North American Treaty.
Are you Googling it?
No. Look, blank screen. Nothing.
You asked Chad. I feel like you asked Chad.
Didn't ask Chad. I got one thing open on my computer. It's just yours. I'm giving it a guess. North American Treaty. Don't know what the O stands for.
Organization. And it's Atlantic. North Atlantic.
Atlantic. Okay. Close enough.
Yeah. I mean, you got it.
I don't really know what they do. I mean, I'm going to have to reposition because all I can see are these horns behind my head.
Right. It is so distracting.
I keep trying to like move over a little bit this way.
Right, then you just get one longer antenna.
There we go. Now Bessie can be behind me.
Now it just looks like you're best friends with this cow.
Making everything awkward. Stop staring at me. Okay. Yeah. So I really want to be Jason, but
you know what? Wrap up entertainment corner and let's get into it here.
Okay.
You're what do we get? Entertainment corner. That's your. You have a note.
Oh, I have to wrap up. Oh, I thought we were moving on. Okay. No. We are moving on. It's just my turn. So what did I have? Bare Naked Ladies concert and Toad the Wet Sprocket coming up. You bought tickets because you're the best sister ever.
I did. Yeah. I
paid money for them at some point.
Right.
I hear lots of footsteps upstairs, which I think might mean that my husband is, yes, he's home.
Right. This is a bad time to record. Lots of things going on outside of our control.
Yeah. Anyway, Bare Naked Ladies, Toad the Wet Sprocket. This is going to be a big deal. You know, me, you, Aaron, and David.
As usual, somebody will want to eat gravy fries. Guaranteed we're stopping someplace after that concert to get a bite to eat.
Oh, and we're going to go somewhere that has gravy fries, and it's not going to be Club Erotica.
Did they even have food there?
No, I hope not. I still can't. I just can't. Yeah, I don't remember how we landed at Club Erotica. Because we were going over the Keys Rocks Bridge and we were going to pass it? I don't know.
No, because I think it was well before then, because we didn't stop. Aaron was like, hey, I thought we were going.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We ended up at Wendy's because it's the same thing.
But speaking of Bare Naked Ladies, so for all of you who don't know, my sister and I love Bare Naked Ladies, the band, and we've seen them a lot. Yeah, I don't really like to watch it. Okay. And we've seen them a lot, like a lot since 96 or so, like a lot. We didn't keep count. We thought maybe we could like go back in time and try to figure it out, but I don't think it's possible. Anyway, Christine, speaking of Bare Naked Ladies, one of the earlier concerts that we went to, we were living in Arizona, but we were home visiting and we went and it was at the Civic Arena, or was it the Mellon Arena? It's always the Civic Arena. We went to the Civic Arena to see them and do we have Stacy with us?
It was me, you, Michael Reagan, Rudy Pipich.
Oh, yes. Nice. Okay. So we had a good crew with us and the opening band was Guster. The guy playing the bongo drums, the best thing ever. Guess who I listened to this morning?
Did you listen to Guster?
I did. Cause I was listening to 90s alternative as I normally do when I'm in the shower. Cause that's when I tell Alexa to play the music. And I don't know what, something came on that had like a bongo vibe to it. And I was like, I have to listen to Guster. So yeah. And I was in there washing my hair, singing Guster songs. It was fantastic. And I'm very sad that Guster didn't seem to go further than that period.
We tried really hard. I mean, I bought all the CDs.
I think they had two.
When we could download music from Napster, I stole. Maybe that's why I didn't go very far, because I stole all of their music from the internet. Napster.
Anyway, yeah. So that happened this week. The tickets are purchased for Bare Naked Ladies and Toad the Wet Sprocket. And now I'm boring my sister, so we should move on.
I'm just tired.
You had to work today.
Right. For the first time. Well, I'm not going to say that. Something that we're recording. No. Nay. Right. All right. So I think that wraps up Entertainment Corner. Let's get into the mental health stuff, because I feel like we're already at 40 minutes and we haven't even.
We
haven't even started talking about the thing which we would like to talk about.
We knew we could talk this much and we didn't even get. We're going to have to rearrange, because I feel like we have to have a gastro story in every episode.
Right. We're going to have to, you know, maybe we switch it up. Like one week we do Entertainment Corner. One week we do the gastro story. We're figuring it out.
Okay.
Anyway. All right, off you go. I think you are up first with our mental health discussions. I think what we were going to do this week is kind of give everyone an intro of why we think mental health is important and why, you know, kind of the big why. Like, why do we want to talk about this stuff? Why do we want to bother figuring out how these microphones work? Why do we want to pay a squadcast to make sure we're recording, you know? So I think go first because you actually have more time at a therapist's office than I do. So you're the senior here.
I do. I love therapy. And I think that everybody should be required to do the therapy. So let's start with probably around the age of 18 when I realized that I was probably had a little bit of crazy going on and needed a little bit of help. And, you know, growing up in the 80s and 90s, if I said I was sad about anything, it was just all in my mind.
Stop being sad.
Yeah, just stop being sad.
What are you sad about? What do you have to be sad for?
Why are you sad? Look, you have everything. You're good to go. You shouldn't be sad about anything.
I'll give you something to cry about.
That.
The best.
So yeah, so my freshman year of college, some things happened. I lost a couple friends from high school, and that made me really sad, and I didn't really know how to process that. And just in general, being 18 years old is not super easy. Going to college and trying to figure out who you are is not super easy, especially when you're definitely someone different than everybody thought you were your whole life growing up so far.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to play soccer anymore. And right. I had to tell my parents I didn't want to play soccer anymore. And that's what they invested so much of their time and their money in my whole life. And I had to tell them I didn't want the scholarship I had anymore. So lots of changes going on. And yeah, started getting pretty sad and just overall weird things, like had a little bit of insomnia start. And then I had my first panic attack, which for anybody who has panic attacks, the first one you have, you will never forget. I was in a bar. Imagine that.
Yeah, but you were with our parents. So it's not like you were out boozing with your friends at 2 o'clock in the morning and had a panic attack.
I was with my mom and dad, and we were going out to meet a bunch of their friends just for dinner. So it was like a restaurant bar. It wasn't really just a bar. And we're sitting there, and I was kind of in the corner. My dad was on one side. Mommy was on the other side. And I started getting like a little, like I was like having a little bit, like my heart was just going crazy. And I tried to like calm myself. The more I thought about it, of course, the worse it got. And I eventually thought for sure I was having a heart attack and couldn't breathe. And yeah, so luckily mommy and daddy were there, and mommy did a really good job kind of clearing the way, like we need to get outside. I don't really totally remember everything that happened there, but I think that we did an okay job not making like a huge deal out of it, which looking back, I'm kind of surprised.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, I thought I was having a heart attack. We got outside, and as soon as I got outside is when I really lost my shit. Like, I can't breathe, and I'm going to pass out, and all of that shit. And their mommy and daddy were contemplating, like, do we call 911? What do we do? And I finally started getting air into my lungs and pulling it all together. And so that spurred. I went back to school after that and decided it was probably a good idea if I went to see a therapist at school. And from that point on, at that therapy appointment, we talked about a lot of stuff. And I started taking meds to help me sleep because we felt that, you know, that probably wasn't helping, that I literally was sleeping maybe 1 hour in a 24-hour period. So that helped. And from that point on, that's when it all started. And to this day, I still go to therapy. I'm still on meds. There's a lot more to dig into over the last 30 years since then.
So,
but I'll get into all of that throughout.
What year? Like, what are we talking about? Like 96?
No, because I think it was my sophomore year. So I think we're later in the 90s. So it was probably like 98.
That's what I was thinking too. I was already in Arizona. What?
I said, I think I'm still considered a freshman, but neither here nor there.
I had a total of 4 successful credits.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fun school when you're worried about dying all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So like I said, there's a lot more to dig into. That's just kind of the surface of where it started. But that's why mental health is important to me, because it's been a huge part of me and my life over the past 30 years. And I'm just fortunate enough to have family and friends that surround me and a good therapist and a good psychiatrist, that when I'm feeling, I have them like my sister to remind me that every time I slip a little down, I'm going to go ahead and fight every single time.
Right.
And she's going to be able to listen. So just trying to get that out there that it's okay to talk about it. And when we talk about it, it makes things better for ourselves. But not only that, hopefully it helps other people. Yep. And that's my beginning. Again, I could talk for 1,000 hours about what I've been through in mental health over the last 30 years, but I think we'll dig into that throughout the podcast.
I mean, we have hours. We have hours to talk about it.
And we're gonna dig into that shit.
We got shovels. We got pickaxes.
You're putting your hand under your arm, like making a fart noise.
I was not.
That's a way to take it. All right. And that's another thing about us as the Gaster girls. We have a hard time being serious.
Right.
So we deal with a lot of things with just laughter. So that's why we're the mental funny bone, because right. It helps.
Right. And the more serious the topic, the more likely we are to do dumb shit.
Right. Sometimes inappropriate.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do? All right. So I will talk about why I think this stuff is important. So this is going to be hard because I feel uncomfortable right now. Like, I feel itchy.
Yeah. I didn't get hives today.
Right.
Was I getting hives when I was talking about? Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah. I was talking about my panic attack and I was getting hives. So I didn't.
Getting all red. Yeah. All right. So I will just rip the Band-Aid off. So 4 years ago, at the very beginning of the pandemic, I had been traveling. I'd been gone like a couple of weeks every month. David and I were doing our best to kind of take care of Olivia. Olivia had been kind of struggling with some depression things for a couple of years. So we figured out early on that Olivia wasn't really a happy all the time kid. Maybe when she was like seventh grade, eighth grade, she started seeing a therapist. So the therapist put her on some Prozac, and we felt like we were doing what we were supposed to be doing. I was taking her to therapy and sitting there for an hour while she talked about her problems, but I was also really busy and David was busy and we were just running around all over the place. So I've been gone. Olivia had just started going to public school from Catholic school, and there was a dance, and she had done something dumb while I was out of town, like something that she was grounded for. And to be honest, I can't even remember what it was right now, like telling lies or doing some stupid 13-year-old girl shit. So she wasn't allowed to go to this dance, and she was absolutely livid. Like, this dance was the end all and be all. Like, all of the kids at her new school wanted her to go. And, you know, it was just super important to her that she go to this dance. And I got into town the day of the dance, and I probably got home like in the middle of the dance. And she thought when I got home, I was going to tell her it's okay and you can go. You don't have to listen to your dad. Of course you're not grounded. But I didn't. I was like, no, you're not allowed to go. You're doing dumb shit and you can't go. Well, that night David went, like, I went to bed because I was exhausted. David went to kind of like tuck Olivia in and found a suicide note on her dresser and a bottle of empty pills, like laying on the bed, and he had a little trouble waking her up. So David flips out. We get her up, we get her into the kitchen and, you know, try to get the story out of her. Like, what did you do? Like, what is going on? And, you know, when that happens, it's really terrifying and eye-opening and soul shattering all at the same time. Cause then you have to figure out how you're going to go forward from there. Right. Like, she wasn't very sick. I mean, overdosing on Prozac isn't going to make it's not going to kill you. And it doesn't really make it too terribly ill. But, you know, we as Olivia's parents have a choice to make. Like, do we keep her at home and be like, hey, don't do that. That was dumb. Like, what do you think that you're doing? Or do we take her to the ER? And having enough experience in this stuff to know that if I take this child to the emergency room, they are going to do a psych evaluation on her. And since she tried to kill herself, she's most likely going to end up in an inpatient facility. So they're most likely going to commit her. And ew. And it's not going to be easy for anybody. It's not going to be easy for her. It's not going to be easy for us. And then you have to deal with, like, as shameful as it is, what are other people going to think about her? And what are other people going to think about me and, you know, how I almost let my kid die? Like, and, you know, how are we going to get past that if we let that happen? And if we do make a decision to be like, so you're kind of standing there at this crossroads, right? At 3 a.m. and no one has had enough sleep. And you have to kind of make that decision, and you have to look at this person that you need to keep alive and be like, what's the best thing for you? Like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, okay, just so you know, I'm going to get you in the car and we're going to go to the emergency room, and then they're going to take you away from me for a couple of days. And I'm like, I just want you to know that, but that's what we're going to do. Like, this is how the three of us are going to get through this. So that's tough. I mean, just being in that position is, like I said, kind of soul shattering. Like, you don't even know what to do other than just put one foot in front of the other for the next couple of days. So horrible, horrible. That's what I got. That's what I got, you know, and then you get there and you walk in and the lady at the ER is like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, well, Olivia tried to hurt herself. And then they go into helping Olivia mode, and they're rushing her off. And they're like, great. We can't get anybody in here until a normal waking up time. So Olivia and I are just in this room. They're like, how do you feel? Do you feel sick? Do we have to make sure you throw, like, they're going to like induce vomiting. And she's like, I don't feel that bad. Like, all, and then it is literally just putting that one foot in front of the other foot until the psych evaluation happens. They have to find her a place. It's inpatient. And then they expect you, as her parent who has absolutely no experience picking a mental health facility, to pick a place to put your child. And I'm like, I don't No, can I Google, like, can I get a Yelp review on Western Psych? Like, what, how do I know which one of these places is the best place? How do I know which one is a shitty place? Like, which one of these is one flew over the cuckoo's nest versus, you know, a place that's actually going to help her? So yeah, you're just trying to get through it.
And that's what, being on the other side of that, like being the one who needs the help, it's so hard, because when you're going to the emergency room for a broken bone, you just need to cast that shit up and we move on. But when you're going to the emergency room because you tried to cause harm to yourself, and the help that you need, it's so hard to ask for. Because when you go in for a broken arm, it's what hurts. It hurts here.
Right. I broke this.
When you go in, you're depressed, and when you're suicidal, what hurts? Everything. Everything hurts. Well, why does it hurt? I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know, but it physically hurts and I want it to stop.
Right.
And I think one of the most eye-opening thing with me when it comes to suicide is, or was, like, I remember the day that I said out loud, I know why people kill themselves. This is why people kill themselves, because this is what they feel like. And they just want it to fucking stop. And it's so hard to advocate for yourself when you don't even know how to explain it to other people.
Right.
And being a mom, That hurts so bad. I know when I came home from Slippery Rock, because that was, you know, where shit went bad was at Slippery Rock. And I came home and I moved in with mommy and daddy. And the song that I related to, so I'm just going to, like, you could feel bad for mommy here, because the song that I felt told my story really well was Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
Oh God. Oh, did you make your mother listen to that?
Oh. I did. And I said, this is what I feel like. Like, I just want the angels to take me away and make it better. Like, I don't want to be anybody else's problem. I don't want to be my own problem. Just listen to the words.
Right.
And they're heartbreaking. And as a parent, you do, like, what do you do? What do you do? What was she supposed to do with that?
Right. Right. I mean, there's no other alternative, but there's such, and this is why, this is really why I think this stuff is important. It's one thing to go to the ER with a broken bone, because then everyone's like, oh my God, yeah, look, I can see your broken bone. That's gotta be terrible. And no one feels ashamed. No one feels like breaking a bone is some kind of like character flaw or defect or something that makes them weird, right? Like, I broke my arm. I had to go to the ER. Like, I had to go get treated for this.
That unless you make your kid walk around with a broken arm for, I don't know, 5 days? Because you don't fucking believe him?
Well, I mean, your kid cries wolf all the time. Your kid cries wolf all the time.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like, you add that there of shame on it. And that's what I felt. Like, when I walked in the ER, like, I was ashamed. I'm like, and nobody feels like that when it's a concussion or, you know, something that happened to you, right? No one feels bad that, oh yeah, you fell and broke your arm. Oh, that's gotta hurt. Like, ugh.
And I think, again, it comes from just not knowing, like, right, just the unknown of everything. Like, why did you try to kill yourself? Why did you try to hurt yourself? Is there something going on at home? Is there there's so many different things that can cause it. And just the unknown freaks everybody the fuck out. And right, that's why for so long, everybody just fucking ignored it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's changing. Like, if you compare your first panic attack and kind of what everyone around you wanted to talk about, and, you know, your parents are awesome. They are just awesome, good people. But I bet they were just a little bit like, oh, I'm sure it wasn't a panic attack. Well, I remember growing up and being like, hey, I feel sad. And stop feeling sad.
I'm dramatic too. I mean, in their defense.
I mean.
Being dramatic. It's fine. I mean, whether they doubted or whatever really happened. Like, I can't remember when we figured out what it was. I think I was in therapy maybe before we figured it out. But anyway, whether they doubted me or not, they still help me.
Right. Yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah. And I mean, I think another thing that has helped me, as far as your parents are concerned, is daddy, regardless if he'll admit it, but he'd never get help for it. Just the struggles that he's gone through in his life, being a Vietnam vet and the depression that he's dealt with his entire life. And he's never sought any help for it, but he can relate. And I've had conversations with him about it that make me feel bad that he's had to deal with it. Kind of makes me amazed that he is where he is now, because I'm not sure where I would be if I didn't have therapy, if I didn't have you, if I didn't have mommy and daddy, if I didn't have my friends. Like,
right.
It's hard to see where I would be. So it just, I want to make sure that my kid, and the same thing that you want, that it's okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about it. And we as parents just have to keep checking in. Right. You know, I mean, with a 14-year-old, it sucks. I was asked the other day, how's Owen doing? I don't know. I think he's okay. Like, I try to talk to him as much as I can, whatever. But yeah, being a parent and dealing with it is a whole new ball game.
It was, I mean, like those first couple of Those first couple of hours, it is literally, I don't even know what's happening. And they, at least at Washington Hospital, they put you like in this back room and everything is locked down. They take all the phones. Like no one has a phone. No one's doing anything on the internet. You're in there with a TV and a bed, and Olivia and I are just staring at each other like, how do you feel? And at least three or four times I was like, I'm just going to take you home. This is fine. We'll figure this out. This, I'm just going to take you home. Like at least three or four times. We were probably there. I think we got to the ER at like 2-ish, 3-ish in the morning. And we got her checked into Western Psych at maybe 9 o'clock the following night. So it was a good long time where I had to sit there and be like, okay, I'm just going to go tell the lady we can leave.
We're going to go. We're fine. Gonna go.
I can't handle, I can't process what's going on right now. I know you need help, but I can't do it.
But you've done a really good job. And I have to say, because I don't, and I might be wrong, but
I'll correct you.
You've done a really good job considering that you haven't had the battles that she has.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I'm sad sometimes, but not like, yeah, not the level, like not even close. Yeah. I mean, that's, and I think that's why I was like, I'm just going to take you home. Cause we'll just pretend that you're not sad and I don't get sad. So obviously we'll just be able to work through this. I'll make cookies.
Oh, I love cookies.
Right? Me too.
Love cookies.
So, like the other hard part with Olivia was, you know, she does her 10 days and, you know, through that 10 days, David and I are running back and forth between Western Psych and here, and you're allowed in to see them, but she doesn't really feel like talking. And you, by the time visiting hours open up and David and I get there, we have like an hour and 10 minutes maybe to spend with her. And when you go visit them, you're in their prison cell essentially with them, because that's what Western Psych looks like. It's just like you're in this cinder block room. They've got one single bed. They've got a bottom sheet, but no top sheet because they're not allowed to have that. Everything I would bring for her.
It's like a dorm room in the 90s.
Right. Right. Only worse, like there are less things because there are some things in your dorm room that you could have used to hurt your roommate.
For sure. I mean, yeah.
Not that you would have wanted to hurt Jocelyn, but you could have. Like there's not a lot of drawers. Like you just have like a closet. Everything we brought her had to go through like six other people. Like I would bring a bag for her and it would have to go through like an x-ray machine in order for me to get it in the building. And then it would have to get searched to make sure I'm not bringing her like a steak knife.
Seems right.
Right. I mean, exactly like it should, but it's still a little disconcerting. I brought her underwear because she ran out and she didn't even get them before it was time to get out. Like it was just a very inefficient kind of way to do things. But I mean, that's whatever. But she does her 10 days there, which is exactly right. So that's like March 13th, 2020. She gets out and comes home. And
then the world is shit.
Like, I don't even remember like thinking anything about COVID. Like I was real into watching like the Johns Hopkins map light up all over the world. I was like, look at it.
We met that Friday. It was March something. It was right before the first case was in our area. Right. Do you remember we went to the Mexican place? I have a picture of you licking the table or acting like you were going to lick the table. And I was like, fuck right. COVID.
right. And then we were like, I should probably have hung off. Right.
I'm definitely never leaving the house again.
Right. And at the same time, like Olivia gets out of the facility, and now I want to like, which is harder than going in, I think, because when you're going in, you're like, yeah, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. Coming out, you're like, now I have to go home with this stranger.
Yeah. What do I do for you?
What she likes. Like, I feel like everything up until the time when she was real with us about how sad she was, like, and not that Not that trying to take your own life is a way to be real with the people around you, but that was essentially what it was. Like, I don't think you understand how sad I am, so I'm going to show you in a very real and physical way. Like, everything up until that was sort of a pretend kind of Olivia. And then to have to deal with, hey, this is the real Olivia. And then immediately, there's no aftercare. There's no nothing. There's just me and Olivia and her dad for the next 4 months.
Yeah.
It was nuts. Nuts. Ugh. Anyway, well, I'm sure we can unpack all that forever and ever.
I was just going to say, I think that that does a good job at introducing our initial bouts of mental health issues, maybe.
Right.
So it gives everybody a little bit of an idea why we wanted to go this way with our podcast. We originally were just going to be funny, which is awesome because we're funny and we love being funny. And we were just originally going to tell gaster stories because why not? And we have a bunch of them that we need to be recorded in some manner. But we also decided to go this route because it means something a little bit more to both of us.
Right.
And
maybe we should end with a gaster story because I feel like it got a little heavy. And now we can go back to talking about why I was wearing my Wonder Woman underoos in the front yard.
I think that's great. I
can't believe you don't remember this.
I don't remember the underoos.
Oh my God. I wanted them so badly, so badly. And another thing I'm going to see if I can put in this, maybe the next podcast, I'm going to see if I can find the underoos commercial that made me want them so badly.
Even back then, marketing was everything. It was everything.
I don't remember what it was. I want to put it in here because I really, really wanted them. And I got them for my birthday in July. So it's the middle of July.
Perfect. So you could just run around in your undies.
I had to be 8. You had to be 3.
I don't know why. I don't remember.
You were self-absorbed even from a young age.
Even then. Were we outside? Were you playing in the sprinkler in your undies? You know, the silver one that spun around like this.
I didn't want to get them wet.
Oh. Why not?
What if they shrunk? No, it was just me. I was outside in my underoos, and then Heather Swanick came over, and Lori Black came across the street. So we were there, and we had our arms around each other. And then the younger kids came over, and then they were in front of us. So we have a picture with me, Lori, and Heather. And then with the younger kids. And I'm in my underwear, my underoos.
Did you have an underoo top or were your zoomies just saying?
Of course, it was an outfit, dude. How do you not remember underoos?
I don't. I don't. I'm sorry. But the visual of all of this.
A tank top with the Wonder Woman logo on it.
I think I remember now. I think we have a picture of it at Grandma Annie's with you in the underoos.
Right, because I wore them outside all the goddamn time. It was all I wanted to wear.
You wanted to be too, right?
What's what?
You wanted to be Wonder Woman.
Yeah, of course I did. She had an invisible jet and a lasso that told the truth.
Right. Why not? Underwear story is mommy answering the door for maybe like the UPS man. And I came out from the hallway. I don't remember this. This is just a story. But I came out from the hallway and I had on daddy's tighty whities and mommy's high heels.
I remember this. Yeah, it was epic.
Right. Yes, I wish we would have got a picture of that.
Yeah, I looked up for my book if it tells you anything about how fun it was.
Yeah. Fuck. Huh. All right, so that's just a little gaster story for today. That's just a little tiny one. We have plenty more that get plenty funny.
How much funnier can it be than a child running around the neighborhood in her underwear?
I don't feel like I feel like you didn't. You weren't just in underwear. You had a tank top on.
Still underwear.
And it was one of your proudest moments. I'm going to try to find you underoo adult underwears now.
Oh my God. I didn't even think that would be a thing that I will obsessively look for on the internet now.
And then you can wear them for a podcast one day.
Oh my God. I'll wear them everywhere. It'll be just like the 1980s.
I think it'll be awesome.
All right.
Well, no, it sounds like Noah is upstairs making dinner of some sort.
Are you
what's that?
Are you going to hide in the basement?
I'm thinking about it. Right. I guess I should go.
I'm going to spend the next 40 minutes, A, trying to figure out how to get my microphone to work, B, how to get this out of Squadcast into Descript, and then over to Buzzsprout so that we can publish it.
Okay. I think that's awesome. And for everyone else, thanks for tuning in to episode one. We're learning. We're finding our way. I promise.
From here.
We won't. We might not be as heavy. We might throw in a little bit more. We were a little upset because of yesterday's mishap. But I can tell you that next week, next podcast, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk a little bit about Dan Harris, who, if you don't know who Dan Harris is, he was an ABC correspondent and he had a panic attack on live television, which has made him one of my favorite people ever. And he wrote a book, 10% Happier, and he now does a podcast, 10% Happier, and we're going to focus on one of his recent podcasts, talking about FOPO, fear of other people's opinions.
Yes, very good.
Which is something we all suffer from, which I think is his podcast was amazing, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Right. And I'm going to congratulate you for not crying once during this episode. And I'm going to congratulate myself for only almost crying once.
Medicated.
There's the difference.
Yeah. I got close, but not enough. Not enough. All right. Well, sounds good. I think we can sign off. Love you.
Love you.
And we'll talk to everybody next week.
3, 2, 1. Bye.